Welcome to Radio at Firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters. Firehouse.com brings you the leaders of the nation's fire, rescue, and EMS services, the top columnists and educators, and today's most important issues, headlines, and comments. Listen right on your desktop or download and listen on the go to Firehouse.com.
Hey, welcome to the Buzz on Technical Rescue. I'm your host, Bob Dumo. We're here at Firehouse World in San Diego, California, enjoying some time in the classroom with the students and out on the exhibit floor with our vendors. Today I have Howard Kritzer with us from B&A Products out of Maryland, a big player in our hands-on extrication programs at Firehouse Expo every July. Howard, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thanks for having us, Bob. I appreciate it.
Could you give us a little background of what you do with the company and kind of some of your responsibilities?
Sure. I'm a national sales manager for towing and specialty markets. Our specialty markets are fire and rescue. My background is in towing and recovery, and so my job is to educate consumers and be involved in training, hands-on things, but also work with our dealers to make sure customers have the right products.
Great. I mean, it's an excellent fit. I know from attending and observing a lot of the heavy extrication programs done in Baltimore, you folks are an integral part, and we actually have the luxury of hosting the event on your property in your site lot, which brings everybody right up to and into your plant where the equipment that they use Monday through Friday and then some to perform these rescues is actually built, designed, tested. What are some of the unique features you have at your plant there for testing and making sure the products you sell are at the highest level of capability?
Sure. So at our facility, we've been in the same location for about 35 years now. Our facility is about 70,000 square foot, and we handle everything from coming in the door as a raw product to going out tested and able to be used. On site, we have test break machines that range from just a 10,000 pound vertical test up to 150,000 pound direct pull on products. Throughout the day, we can test anywhere from 50 to 60 chain links just to make sure that our welder's working correctly, and up to 20,000 breaks a year, depending upon what kind of products we're testing. Every item that we have some sort of a spec sheet on. We're able to record it. We're able to graph where it broke, why it broke, and we're also able to do testing on items that have broken to customers and be able to tell them if it was misuse and how it was misused in many cases.
And I think as an end user and as a student in a program there, observing the participants, you get a real in-depth knowledge when you actually get to sit there and watch the test taking place in front of you. What are the type of comments you usually get from the students who have the luxury of being in your facility and watching the work take place?
So typically they're very focused. We're dealing with people that just typically grab a piece of chain, don't understand actually what it's there for, how its capacities are. So in this realm, in this testing, they get to actually watch it break and understand that it's going to stretch first before it's actually going to break. And there's kind of a shock the first time. It's also a loud bang when something does break. So it's a great shock factor, draws a lot of attention. But on the same hand, then they have a different respect for that product when they leave and they go out to use it. They understand its capabilities and what they're doing or have done wrong or what they can do to prolong it.
And I think that's a good point, actually seeing, as you said, watching the link stretch, watching all the phases of the destruction, basically, of that piece of equipment take place. As an instructor and as an end user, I know my first time there, the observation was exactly what you hit on. First, you're awed by what it's doing, watching these heavy metals literally stretch, and then when it does finally fail, it gets your attention, and usually there's a jump or two in the crowd as people weren't expecting it to take place. So I think that in itself is such a bonus. With your equipment, you know, the heavy extrication, it kind of covers a broad spectrum. You talked about you deal a lot with the towing and that specialty market within a subgroup that's kind of getting absorbed into the fire service. We're doing a lot more interaction with our heavy rigging folks in individual communities. Over-the-road accidents, we require their assistance because of the big towing equipment they bring to the scene. So pulling those two sets of players together helps out quite a bit. Have you gotten any feedback from like the towing community about their view of being a part of the fire community's training level?
Certainly. So the towing community, in most cases, Coming from that industry myself, and the reason I was in that industry is, just like most firefighters, people in the fire industry, we want to help. We're helpers. We want to be there to help people out. Otherwise, we wouldn't be servicing them. We wouldn't be getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning to go out and change a tire on a vehicle. So they want to help. They want to be there to work with the fire departments. They want to be there to help them do something if they're needed, as they're needed. Most owners of a towing company are very want to be hands-on with that type of thing. That said, cross-training has become very big in certain areas. If you're working well with your towing department, if the fire department and towing department are working well together, things can happen that can save lives. If a fire department and a towing department had the same type of equipment on their truck, the fire department got there first, you're waiting on a tow truck to come to lift a cement mixer off of a vehicle, but if the fire department trained with them, they'll know how the tower is going to want to lift that up, so they can actually have it rigged so that when they get there, they can pick that piece of equipment up, and we only need to pick it up a couple inches just to get the casualty, get the people out, get the vehicle out, and get the patient out.
Yeah, and it's a good point where that prior knowledge of each other's capabilities and needs makes for such a successful operation, because we don't bring the capabilities for the most part in the fire service to do the big lifts, but the prep work we can do because we do bring that equipment, and we're starting to see an expansion, especially with urban search and rescue and technical rescue being one of the forefronts of growth in the fire service currently. People are understanding it's one of those multifaceted. We talk heavy rigging in a collapse environment, but the same skill sets we have to use at a collapse are the skill sets we'd use at a heavy vehicle type of event, or two small vehicles that are just impaled upon themselves in a very unique way. So some of the features, I know like you guys are constantly evolving your offering of equipment. One of the neat things you had is a device referred to as the ball dog, which is kind of, when you explained it to me the first time, a very quick deployable tool. Kind of give us the why you took the time to make something like that. What made that a viable research project?
Certainly. So we were just looking for a way to be able to attach to a vehicle. It's not going to attach to every vehicle. We'll be able to attach to a vehicle and hold it there and possibly bring it back towards us. What's the easiest thing we can get to? And kind of the scenarios that we thought about to begin with was, what if the vehicle is down a hill, or what if the vehicle is in water? The first thing you can almost always get to is a hitch on a vehicle, whether hopefully it's an SUV or a truck or something that has a hitch on it. So with a hitch on there, this device is meant to actually go over a ball hitch. I wouldn't tell you to recover a vehicle off a ball hitch typically, but with this pin and device on there, it's now locked on. It won't slip off the top of the ball. It's locked onto the ball. If the hitch is there and the ball receiver's not in it, and you just have the receiver part, it's a square tube, there's a ring on here, an oblong ring that you can actually pass in and pin it with the safety pin, and now you can hook up to it from that as well. So the idea of the Ball Dog Plus is to attach to the hitch at some point, and then it has a hook on it for a chain, one of our patented twist lock grab hooks for chain, or it has a loop to put a strap around, and you're able to connect to a vehicle and hold it there without getting in front of the tires that are going to roll, if the vehicle's going to roll, without getting in front of a vehicle, without having to go underwater, hopefully very far. You can get to the first thing you're typically going to see when a vehicle goes off the road is the back end of the vehicle. This is the quickest way to at least hold it and then go from there.
It's the perfect first in, first responder type of tool to have in your cache of equipment on a pump or a rescue truck, a squad vehicle, anything that's going to be potentially that first vehicle rolling up on the scene. It could be in a chief's vehicle, many of which are designed with the ball and hitch type of format. So there again, you're not going to maybe affect the entire show, but you can start mitigating it from getting worse by putting that first level of attachment to it. So, this is one of the great things that yourselves and many of the other vendors we have here have listened to, identified different needs in the community, and adapted it to it. So it's helping build that and fostering that relationship with each other. A couple other things that we've utilized both at your extrication hands-on program and seeing through it, doing a lot of heavy rigging in the USAR community, shackling things together is a critical component, putting all the little pieces together to make it one system. And one of the devices that we really had an eye-opener with this last year when we were visiting your site was the twist lock shackles, where basically instead of the days of X amount of turns of the thread to bring the pin in and out, which bad conditions, hurried conditions, or lack of attention has been more than once known to be lost in the operation, where you now have a device where the pin goes in. Is that something that, what avenues really created the need or the desire to go into that research and development for that?
So the first product that we did that was considered our twist lock is a twist lock grab hook. And so the twist lock grab hook was meant to go on the end of a chain, and it was meant to capture the chain and lock it into place so that it's stuck there. We took that concept and we put it onto the shackles, the twist lock shackles. And the biggest thing with the shackles is exactly what you said. That pin falls out. You take it out of your hand, you got your gloves on, you've unscrewed the pin all the way out. You're 6 feet in the air on a ladder someplace and you're trying to hook to the top of something. You drop that pin, you've got valuable time, it just fell on the ground. Hey, get me the pin over there if you can see it. It hasn't fallen in snow or hasn't fallen in sand or mud. And then try to put it back in. With this pin design on the twist lock shackles, it's spring loaded. So it's keyed and it's spring loaded. You'll just pass the pin straight through a keyed hole, twist it out of the hole's way, and it can't come unlocked for you. Same workload limit as any other shackle would possibly have for that size, and it just has a keyed slot for it. So it's a quick, easy way of... It also helps if you need to do a quick adjustment. I need to take this strap off and move it over here real quick. You're not unturning 6 turns or 12 turns to get the screw out. Now you're just quick spring load unlock and lock back in place.
And which, you know, the day I saw them, I'm like, this is definitely something to go into our inventory in the future as we expand our volume of pieces of equipment for many of the things you said. And just the fact of the timeliness, and it creates, it's either closed and locked or it's not. With the threaded systems, which we have a vast majority of at the current status, is so many times that they don't get a full tightening. And with everything, whether it's carabiners and rope rescue or shackles and heavy rigging, the rating they have is properly affixed and fully closed, not partially. So here we don't have that opportunity to have kind of a halfway there type of safety margin. We're working with full safety margins the whole time. Now, because the stuff is designed and constructed there too, from having the tour of your facility, what goes into putting a system, a chain system together, or one of your strap systems? What's kind of the behind the scenes or the how-to of the design or the construction of these?
Sure. So we first thing we look at is application typically, and I'll start off with a grade 70 chain. Most people, if you have rescue struts, you've got some sort of a grade 70 cluster. Some of this product's coming out of, this is meant for vehicle stabilization or extrication, and so this is coming some from the towing industry. So we're using J hooks and R hooks and T hooks in order to collect in there. We've taken a look at different clusters that have, you might have a grab hook, it might have a grab hook, a J, and a T on it. Well, this is a multi-cluster. You walk up with one piece, you connect to the vehicle, and then you can put a strap to it or put something else to it. We can weld up any assembly that you want. We do all of our own welding in-house, and we can test it. And so if someone told me that they wanted one cluster with 12 J hooks on it because that's what their department needs, they have a certain piece of equipment in their region that calls for this device, we can do that. Or if a trainer has changed that, we can do that as well. All this would be tagged and certified, that type of thing for you, so it's all capable.
And that's a big plus, hitting on that point. Tagged and certified, one of the things with yourselves and others in the industry who create these tools for us, having that validation, that third-party testing, I'm assuming it gives you the ability to tag things off, and that credentialing is a big part of our safety margins. It's not Bob in the garage with a couple good ideas and a handful of tools from the local big box store putting it together. This is being done by true professionals building programs and systems, in this case, to make the operation safer. With the heavy extrication course that you guys hosted through the hands-on training last year, and hopefully we'll be doing again in the future as part of our Firehouse Expo series, what were some of the challenges? challenges the students were faced during that? What are kind of a brief overview of what did that program bring to the students' eyes?
Sure. So in that program there, we actually did a little bit of everything. We did some lifting with airbags. We have four different scenarios set up. A couple of the scenarios, we had a cement mixer that was on its side on top of a vehicle in a T position. We had a we had an underride with a trash truck with a vehicle underneath the front of it. And so what the obstacle was to lift the vehicle up off of the top of it and get the patients out. Sometimes we did with air, but other times we did it with struts. We were able to lift them shortly with some of the struts on the market. We were able to lift them with a recovery, with a wrecker. So we actually had a wrecker set up in one position where all the fire personnel actually did all the rigging. We lifted the vehicles up by the wheels or by the frames, did all the rigging for that, and then the tow truck just came in and lifted it up 4 inches or 6 inches in order to get the vehicle out and the patients out as well. The scenarios were set up in different areas. Halfway through the day, we stopped, had lunch. At the end of the day, we went and did about an hour worth of a tour. It included all of the brake testing. You got to see how we also manufacture, how we have 20 sewing machines set up in a room, and we sew all of our straps together there. We can show you how we do our welding for all of our chain links, if they're used with hammer locks, what our process is for building those and testing all that as well.
No, and like for the internal employees from the business, it's got to probably be something of pride having something there, but people coming to see your craft and your trade being put to use and then seeing the final outcome of the attention to detail they put into their daily lives to make the product the quality they are, and then having them literally used right outside the side door and to get to peek their head out and see the end value of their efforts.
It certainly is, and we have a very long-term group of people that work for our company. We have employees there that have been there over 27 years. We have our average is somewhere around 15 years. These people know the product and they've been doing it for long enough, but they also get to see we do a firehouse training there. We also do a training there for the towing in November during the Tow Expo that's held in Baltimore, actually in the same exact building as the Firehouse Expo is. American Towman Expo is held there, so we do a training at the same time in our facility so towers come through and see it. But our employees get to take that pride. We clean the factory as best we possibly can, you know, and they wear their best shirt that day, and they get to show off, and then they do get to see how we do it, and they go, that's why I make that product, and it does help them with that. I also try to send back pictures. I attend as many trainings as I can in any industry that's using our products, and try to send back pictures on an often basis and say, hey, you guys made this. This is what we did with what it was, and that's a big morale booster as well.
Yeah, definitely, and it falls into the catchphrase of a win-win category.
Sure.
Your people gain, we in the fire industry gain, obviously the other group, your primary group of the towing industry, they're gaining. So when you bring all these pieces of the puzzle together, everybody walks away with more than what they had when they showed up, knowledge-wise, skill-wise, and opens avenues of learning up and the tricks of the trade, how the tool will do its most valuable assets for you. One of the things you mentioned a little bit earlier is the different setups with the clusters and the different hooks. And you know, I remember in the rescue field, those not being around for many years, and over the last, say, 5 to 10, they started to become more prevalent through various manufacturers, including yourselves. And how much easier it's made our job, because I can't count the multiple trips back and forth to a staging blanket or to a compartment on a vehicle when everything used to be basically a la carte. Now you're getting a whole meal in one hand, for lack of a better analogy, and it's speeded our process up where we're moving faster with quality performance. We're not just hurrying for the sake of hurrying, but we're cutting literally minutes off of the operation, which is giving time in the survivability profile for the victims that we're responding to. Any new things in the works or in research that you think will be accepted or desired within the rescue community in the future?
So one of the things that we've been asked for, and as people come through and do training, we're trying to learn the rescue industry as well, but one of the things is recommended kits, and so that's something that we've been worked on, we've come up with, but people often purchase a rescue truck and they've got a couple chains, they may have gone down to Home Depot and picked up a couple straps, and they may have done a couple several different things. But our goal is to give them a full kit. If you know that you're going to have tractor trailers going through your town and it's a possibility that you could have an accident in your town with that tractor trailer, maybe we should set up your heavy rescue with the correct product. And this is a recommendation, and that recommendation has been from three, four, five different trainers that we're affiliated with or that have come to us and said, hey, I want to build a kit. So we've taken the best out of that, and someone could tell me, you know, I already have this, and I already, that's fine, but to make sure, exactly like you said, that you've got the whole meal there, not just a piece of it, so that they don't have to think, next time I should probably have a strap like this on my truck. Hopefully we can supply a kit to four or five different style kits, more like a USAR kit would be, that we already supply, but also for heavy rescue, light rescue, medium rescue, that type of thing. So that's what we've been working on and hopefully be able to have shortly.
And somebody in my, you know, full-time life, I deal a lot with purchasing and procurement of equipment for our county special operations unit, and I'm definitely a big fan of kit purchasing, mm-hmm. because it eliminates that oh damn situation where you forgot about an item or you weren't aware of an item, and it also makes the acquisition of the materials easier. It may seem a little bit heavier lift fiscally when you buy a kit, but when you're all said and done, if you broke it down piece by piece, you may have missed pieces or you really gain nothing. So it really helps accelerate your functional curve. And as you said, some of the other products, just looking through your different things, and you know, as a reminder for our listeners, everything we're talking about today, obviously we're doing a video or a non-video recording here, all audio, but we will have listed on the website the link to B&A products, where you can actually see the visual background on these and the different things to kind of bring a lot of our words to a visual purpose.
We also have a link on our site from all the pictures from Firehouse Expo this past year, all the training that was done at our facility. So there's a very big, vast amount of pictures and videos from that event. So if you want to check those out, see what we did last year during the training, give you an idea of what we'll hopefully be doing again in the future.
And that's a great tool that people can, you know, read about it, see it in a picture, but then the videos take it to another whole level. You actually watch the responder using the equipment from various different suppliers and how it makes their job capable of being successful. But, you know, Howard, I want to thank you for taking a few minutes out of your busy schedule. I know you guys have a booth here at the show and you're, you know, very busy with people coming up and talking to you, but it's one of our goals here at the Buzz on Technical Rescue to, you know, provide our listeners a little bit more background on how and where the tools they use and take for granted maybe on a daily basis come from and what's involved in getting them into their hands. So, you know, thanks again. Any closing thoughts, Howard, or thoughts to go with it?
You know, we're about training. We're about safety, and that's what we're here to encourage. And whether we can sell one item or no items, it doesn't matter. As long as people are paying attention to the actual safety part of it and using equipment correctly, that's what we're here about. So appreciate the opportunity, Bob, and really having a great time here at Firehouse World.
Great. And being a couple East Coasters, spending a week on the West Coast during this particular winter, there's a whole lot of smiles coming out of the crowd.
I agree.
So, thanks again. This is Bob Dumel, the host of the Buzz on Technical Rescue, coming from Firehouse World in San Diego, California. Hope you enjoy our show. And as always, if you have any ideas or suggestions for future productions, please don't hesitate to send your request or your ideas to firehouse.com, or we'll do what we can to answer those needs, and have a safe day. Thank you.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these, or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.